Iran prepares to retaliate against US sanctions. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma, filling in for Anu Anand. Good morning. Welcome to the programme. France, Germany and the UK meet later today in Brussels. On the agenda is trade with Iran, despite fresh sanctions introduced just last week by President Trump on the buyers of Iranian oil. The intention is to drive Iran's oil exports down to zero. But Iran is looking at ways of how it can retaliate. So what can it do? Esfandiar Batmanghelidj is the founder of the Europe-Iran Forum.
It's most likely going to be that Iran would take some small steps, perhaps around the installation and operation of centrifuges that are controlled under the agreement, to basically show that it's not seeking to completely withdraw from the deal, because certainly the deal has strategic value for Iran. By taking these small steps, they're going to be able to indicate that this could go a very different way, for example, and that Iran retains some leverage.
Countries in Europe, the UK, Germany, France, they're meeting today in Brussels to discuss ways to continue to trade with Iran despite these sanctions. How can they do this? It sounds like a tall task.
The challenge for the Europeans is that the efforts that they had instituted to respond to the economic pressure are now being overtaken by a new set of events. So the mechanism established by the French, German and UK governments, Instex, which is this state-owned entity to help facilitate trade, is a solution for a relatively constrained problem. For example, it doesn't offer a solution to the issue of Iran's oil exports to non-European countries. And so in a sense, we're reaching a point where the European response is no longer sufficient to meet how severe this pressure campaign is from the US.
Esfandiar Batmanghelidj there. Let's do the numbers. Shares in China ended the day higher after Beijing said it will send its top official to the US for trade talks. Meanwhile, financial markets in Turkey tumbled after authorities ordered a recount at Istanbul's local elections after an opposition victory. Hoping to cash in on coffee beans today is Luckin Coffee, the Chinese equivalent to Starbucks. It's planning to list on the Nasdaq. An expanding 400 million middle class and a growing cafe culture have made China a sweet spot for global coffee chains. Lawrence Gosling is the editor-in-chief of What Investment. He's reported from China and he's actually drunk in a Luckin.
When you first see one for the first time when you're there, you think, this looks like a store that I've seen somewhere before. And then you immediately go, ah, it feels a little bit like Starbucks. It's gone from sort of one store literally 3 or 4 years ago to now rivaling Starbucks in China with sort of over a couple of thousand stores. And it's probably the fastest growing small beverage business in China. And is another great example of how the increase in wealth over the last decade for the average Chinese person, particularly the sort of middle classes that are in the cities, are wanting the kind of the appetite of the Western consumer.
Lawrence Gosling. Regular cash payments for everyone in the country. Who wouldn't like the sound of that? It was the winning ticket for Italy's governing five-star movement in the country's general elections last year, where they won 50% of the vote. The policy is known as universal income and has been used by governments around the world in an attempt to reduce poverty. Rome correspondent James Reynolds takes a look at how the policy is working out.
We did it, Five Stars leader Luigi Di Maio told his supporters last September. Mr. Di Maio, who's a deputy prime minister in the populist coalition, celebrated setting up a version of his electoral promise of a citizen's income. Any Italian who can prove their household earns less than around €9,500 a year is eligible. They'll be entitled to receive up to €780 a month. During the first days of the rollout this spring, a number of older people queued up at banks and job centres to make their applications. Maria was one of them.
I'm a pensioner and I've applied. €780 would be really helpful. There's people who are in real difficulty and can't make it to the end of the month like me. And I'm not embarrassed to admit it. That's reality.
In practice, the scheme may work most effectively for poorer pensioners. For the working age population, the electoral promise of a citizen's income has been diluted into a more traditional welfare to work programme. But even that is important to those who struggle to get a full-time job. Anna makes coffee in her small apartment in Rome. She lives alone and has struggled to find lasting work as a cook. She's now making her application for the income.
It's not easy to get it. I hope they approve it. There's a point scoring system. I'm single and with no kids living with me, so I'll get less. You have to do some social work or some job training while you receive it.
In all, the current scheme is a version of a promise which won power for the five-star movement. If it fails, if the real-life model doesn't compare to the vision they were sold, voters may decide to hold Five Star to account. In Rome, I'm the BBC's James Reynolds for Marketplace.
And just before we go, if you're excited about the royal baby, exclusive Baby Sussex teddy bears go on sale today. But it will cost you just under $1,200 on online auctions. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.